Let's pray and then we'll sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our day and for life and health and strength. For Ling and Christy, for Norman. Pray you too for Will and Esther and Pat and Steve and John and Carol and Frank and Christine too and the family. Lord, just thank you for each of these souls, but Lord, please bless these heads that are bowed in your presence and the houses that are represented here. Lord, I pray for your strength, comfort and wisdom. I pray you, Lord, that you would speak to us through the reading of your word, through the hymns, Lord, through the praises, and even through this prayer time. Pray, Lord, that you be with Stephen and Anne Marie and save their souls, and please help them with their dad. For Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman, Lord, and his mom, Joan. For Henry and Evelyn, very especially for Alan, Lord, and for Pearl. And I pray you too for wee Kate this morning. Please save souls. Please help us, Lord, always to be a help and never a hindrance to people as they choose which way they're going to go, whether saved or lost. And Lord, we just pray your presence. We love you and thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymn books. And even though Norman was saying it was 10 degrees out there and it's not Christmassy weather, we are going to sing a Christmassy song. Hymn number 421. 421, the first Noel. That'll get us into the, hopefully into the Christmas spirit, because it is only, this is the what? It's a week and a half till Christmas.
Noel, 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 Noel. already.
Well, not done yet. Keep those vocal cords moving. If you'd like to go back a page or two to hymn number 349, The Comforter Has Come.
If you're able and you want to stand, you can stand as we sing this.
Spread the tidings on wherever.
If you're fit, sir, come on you ahead.
Our reading this morning is from James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. And ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts. Hearken, my beloved children, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? For brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body, that doth it profit. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Ye man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Hath not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with its works, and by works hath faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by work a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, not Rabbah the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen.
different chapters there. One of my favorite verses, verse number 10, where it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." A lot of people over the years that we have spoken to, "I only tell wee white lies," but telling lies is breaking God's law. So if you offend in one tiny point, you've still broken all of God's laws. Just to show people that regardless of who you are, or what you've done or what you haven't done, you're still a sinner. You still need a savior. Thank you for that, Norman. And you can thank Steve. You can thank Steve for choosing your reading this morning. We do appreciate his input from afar. It'd be even better to see him whenever he produces his input from just that row behind Norman there. Please do pray for Steve. I think he received the treatment for his psoriasis, and he started that on, I think it was Friday evening. So please do pray for him that has, a quick and long-lasting remedy for the troubles that he's been having in his feet. I know he does have a number of other medical problems. Please do pray about that as well. We miss him. We miss Esther too. Please pray for her. I do believe she's doing not too badly, but obviously having had treatment for, was it lymphoma? Her immune system's compromised, so even a cold, even us blowing our noses, I'm just thinking this morning, and having nothing more than a bit of a cold could be quite detrimental to her. So please do pray for her. And we look forward to having her out when things settle down as well. At the risk of making it sound like the hospital waiting room, please do pray for Carol. She has problems, back pains and arm pains. And, I want to give thanks to the Lord because since starting out on a little bit of treatment from Dr. Shang, and he gave me a few exercises and things to do, I was actually able to reach into the back seat of the car. It shows you how small my life is. I've never been able to reach into the back seat of the car as a milestone. And for the first time, was able to reach behind my head and actually reach the wee switch on the lights just up over my head. I mark these things because they're important. But Still a wee bit of jip, but definitely miles better than it was this time last week. So I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang for organizing that. And I still appreciate Norman's TENS machine because that's it gives you a nice wee buzz as well. So, amen. I think Frank's coming home. Is it this coming week?
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So please do pray for Frank as he travels. Taylor will be here next week, next Wednesday. So please do pray for Taylor as she travels. And I would ask that you would pray for wee Kate Cairns. I'm sharing with Norman. She lost her husband there just 11 weeks ago. And she's wheelchair bound. And she ended up, one of the carers parked the wheelchair at the foot of the bed that she couldn't get into it. So we ended up going down to give her, just move the wheelchair about 6 feet. That's all she needed, and she was able to get up and do for herself. So please do pray for her as well, if you would. Miss Will this morning, please do remember him. And I don't know if any of you have ever met his cousin William. He is a local farmer, married a couple of years, has a wee baby girl, and hasn't quite adopted, but he's taken in his nephew. And they're having a bit of a difficult time at the moment, and I would ask for prayers for them especially. That's William and Rachel and Lillian and the young fella Aaron. You may actually remember him having been here with his grandfather at one point. So please do pray especially for them at this time. We also appreciate prayers for our country. I think as a fellow says, the free world stands at a crossroads right now, and it's been coming for a long time, and if it doesn't happen this year, it could be another 3 or 4 years down the line, but the world is slipping ever closer to the devil, And someday we know the Lord is going to come and take it. Whenever there's nobody else is going to get saved, the Lord is going to come and he's going to take us home. And then there'll be 7 years of what the world wanted, no reminders of God, and the place is going to go bonkers. And it'll be so bad that somebody is going to literally have their finger on the button, and then the Lord will come back. So it's going to get sadly worse in that respect before it gets better. But that doesn't mean that you can't live for the Lord and you can't keep your eyes on him. So just remember that when all of this is going on, and the not just the storms, but the storms of life are blowing, remember that little parable. Make sure you're founded on the solid rock. And regardless of what else goes on, as long as you and Jesus are in good terms, everything else is gravy. And it might hurt a bit and it might niggle a bit, but everything else is gravy. Please remember that. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think that's about that. Unless anybody has a private prayer request that they want to draw particular attention to, no details required, just stick your hand up and we'll pray for it. I already have me and Monica and Ling and Steve and Pat and Norman. Christy, any? All good? All right. Anybody got? I've got my thank you prayer request for my arm getting better. Still a ways to go. Anybody got anything else? Nothing else. Okay. Done. Okie doke. Well, Brother Christy, I'm going to have you lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, brother. Thank you.
Service, Lord, the ability, and Lord, freedom will come to your house as well. The hymn song, Lord, for the reading thus far, Lord, we ask and pray that you'll undertake the rest of the service, be it in hearts and minds here amongst us, Lord. Just provide needs this morning, we pray. Watch over those that couldn't be with us, Lord, that are cast down, Lord, those that are fighting Senate battles, Lord, and struggling with health issues as well, that you remember them. Lord, I pray for a touch of comfort for those grieving lost loved ones, Lord, at this time. That you just, Lord, give us grace, a touch of comfort, Lord. Think on Kevin family, especially this time, too, with Baby Shannon, Lord. Lord, just intervene in that situation, Lord, for your will as well. Pray salvation for their household, too, please. Lord, remember Dennis, Lord, and again, a touch of healing of fear, Lord, but just peace, Lord, and a portion of grace for the family members as well. For my family this time as well, to be with them. Lord, remember William and Rachel, Lord, and Lillian, that you be with them, Lord. Pray for Kate Cairns too, Lord, to comfort her at this time, Lord, and just save her soul, we pray. Lord, be with the preacher as he proclaims your word this morning. Ask and pray, Lord, just heavenly wisdom, Lord, a touch from you, Lord, and stoking up with the fires in the heart, Lord, please. Ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Christy. Let's take our hymn books again. And this time we're going to sing 422.
Thou didst leave thy throne. Now, it's not one of our old favourites, but it is getting there. So give it your best shot and we'll enjoy it.
Thou didst leave thy throne. Thank you.
Song in you before we open our Bibles. 372. I haven't sung this one for a while. I love this one. Let the lower lights be burned.
If you're able, let's stand as we sing.
Away and get the Bibles out and turn to Leviticus 26 with me if you would like this morning. Leviticus 26. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. We have a baker's dozen's worth of verses to read, and I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject this morning of Dear Santa. Dear Santa. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse number 1. Amen. It is that time of year, and we're not going to preach about Santa, but let's read, and then we'll get going. The Word of God says in Leviticus 26, "Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright." Amen. Title for the message this morning is Dear Santa, and we're going to be having a look at all of this little bit of Leviticus 26. And amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you again. And Lord, as Christy has already mentioned, I just think especially on Dennis Johnson and his family, and the Hawk family and McCallion family. That's wee Shannon, that wee girl with spina bifida, Lord, is just not keeping 100% right now. I pray that you'd be with the whole family. But I pray that you'd be with us as well, Lord, and not just us, but Brother Stan up in Bangor. And Lord, the church is over in Brother Bissett there in Temple Patrick. And Lord, the many other men that are standing in our own country and even not that far away from us are preparing to do so. Lord, to preach the full counsel of your word from the King James, please, Lord, I pray, inspire and protect and deliver the words and the thoughts, not just to the preacher, Lord, but to the hearer as well. And I pray you that this morning, Father. I pray also that you would be one of our number, and that you would open our understanding, that you would comfort us and strengthen us, and that you would deal with those that just can't be here, Lord, for whatever reason. I pray that you would just provide for them, Lord. Provision, whatever it is that they need, I pray that you would deliver it. Lord, please be one of our number. Please accompany us, Lord. Please just walk up and down the hall here this morning, working me and Ling and Monica and Norman and Christy. Please also work in Pat and Steve, Lord, and Esther, Leonard, wherever he might be, and however he's doing. Will and Christine and the whole extended family, Frank too, Lord, John and Carol, and especially Steve. And for all those that have slipped and slid, Lord, pray for the Hoes, I pray for the Edgars, for the Robinsons. I pray you, Lord, for the Borlands and for the Lemunions, Lord, for Tony and Caitlin and Dawn and Debbie. We know, Lord, that you love us and you want the best for us. I pray you, Lord, that you would open people's hearts and minds, that you would show them that all the gods that put their faith in this past wee while have let them all down.
and that only you are there through thick and thin. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us and for doing that for us. And I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon us as we just take this time in your word. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Dear Santa, you're probably wondering how you get Dear Santa from Leviticus 26. It may be a bit of a seasonal message, although Santa's only going to get a wee mention at the start of the message and at the very end of the message. Like I said, we're taking the whole of these 13 verses, and we're going to refer to them. I think we really do need to have a little look at them and then just think how these apply to our lives. We are in December, and I am sure from my own memory that I had many grand ideas about what it was that I wanted for Christmas whenever I was little. I actually wanted, and you've heard of the Marvel Black Panther movie and the star of it who died of cancer there quite suddenly, just a month or two back. I actually wanted one of those suits before they were fashionable. I wanted a Black Panther suit. And just to give you an idea of how understood I was by my mom and dad, I think I ended up with a Liverpool football skip. And I thought, I have never ever asked for a football skip in my entire life. And to say that my faith in Santa was shaken somewhat at the time would be a bit of an understatement. That is a true story. But this is the time of year that kids start with their lists. We used to look at the Trafford catalogue and say, oh, I'd like that and that. And then, of course, the unscrupulous advertisers would post all of the toys and things that girls and boys were going to be looking for at the children's TV programmes time. And, of course, you'd want those as well. And the list would be written out and it would be rejigged and prioritised in the weeks in the run-up to Christmas. To coin a phrase, if you were lucky, you might get something off of it. So that was that. But there was more to it than just what you wanted. There was what you were going to have to pay. You were going to have to be good for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I am sure a lot of children find that to be a small concession to make. I don't know of any kid that ever got a lump of coal. Although I'm sure there's been times in human history where people would have been glad for a few lumps of coal come Christmas. But there's always that hanging over threat stroke promise that if you don't behave yourself and go to your bed early, that Santa, who knows whether you've been naughty or nice, is not going to leave you what you asked for. And so, kids were marginally nicer. Because isn't there that old song? About he knows whether you've been naughty or nice and so on. So we're not going to speak about Santa. Neither are we going to make reference to how much of Santa's talents or abilities are taken directly from God Almighty, knowing who's been good and who's been bad and able to know everything about everybody at the one time. We're not going to talk about that. Or how many people will actually lie to their children about Santa and then we'll lie to them about God as well. We're not even going to talk about that. I want to talk about the list thing, the quid pro quo that many people, little people, think they have with Santa, and many big people think they have with God. As we open the chapter, we see the very first thing, the thing that is foundational to everybody's behavior. And that is what God you worship. And God actually says, don't be worshipping any other God. You need to keep your eyes on me. Now we can see with the benefit of hindsight the awful cost in worshipping false gods. Millions of little children that will never take a breath in this world. Many more men and women, old and young, that have given their lives because of false religion to keep false religion far from their country's borders. We see the awful cost.
And that is why God says, keep your eyes on me. Don't be worshipping anything else. Don't be setting anything up as an idol in your life, whether it's made of stone or wood or steel or glass or crystal or gold. Don't be worshipping other gods. Take time for me. And the next thing he says is, get to church. It says here, reverence my Sabbath and my sanctuary. In other words, take a day in the week away from everything else and consider where you stand. In this case with the children of Israel, it's not that long ago they were wandering through the wilderness, and it's not that long ago they were divinely saved from Egypt. And we'll look at that at verse 12 or 13. And God says, you need to think about these things, because the great problem that we have today is that, as the Bible even says about eating bread is soon forgotten. If we don't make a point of remembering what God has done for us, we're just going to go back out into the world and do what we always did, with this vague notion in the back of our heads that we're God's children. And someday when our bodies are done, we'll open our eyes in heaven and say, my goodness, what a pleasant surprise. Instead of, at long last, I'm here. Whilst many of our friends in the folks we used to run with, many of the other foxes we used to run with as the hounds chased us, they go straight to hell. God said, you need to be mindful of me. And let's be honest, we do, don't we? We need to be reminded about what God has done for us. I know the faces that are here have been here for years and saved for years. And I know you've heard the word of God many, many times. But if I had asked you when you come in through the door, tell me all the Bible verses you know. You might get 20 or 30, you might even get a whole chapter or bits of it. Maybe 50 or 60. But as we read this portion of God's word, you might think, I remember that now. And Paul said to Timothy, don't forget to stir up the gift that is in you in 1 Timothy. Stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hand. In other words, keep the fire lit. Keep breaking it up a wee bit and checking those bits. Keep reviewing your Christian life. That doesn't mean you have to spend every moment of every day with your head down in the shame for the sin that you have been forgiven. But the Lord didn't say it. He said, rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. And we'll come back to that, because that's a very important verse. We rejoice because we're saved. We don't walk in shame because we are sinners, saved sinners. We rejoice. But we need to remember. We need to remember. He said, be in church, you're not going to enjoy church, and you're certainly not going to enjoy the Sabbath unless you're saved. And I don't know about you, but I certainly felt that way when I was young. Talk about the greatest obstacle to a long, happy weekend. Started at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and didn't finish until 1. And then we weren't allowed in the early years to watch TV, and we thought then it was so great whenever we got to see Errol Flynn swinging off of ropes from one ship to another and doing a sword fighting and this, that. Now, the fact it was Christie's, goodness, I think maybe his great-grandfather used to talk about Errol Flynn, but he all said, well, Freddie, what do you think of, is it your grandfather or your great-grandfather? Ernie's dad. Nana's dad. Goodness. He used to be like Caesar. He would give him the thumbs down, because he said, all those guys, they went to hell. And then whenever I asked him, what about you, Freddie? He'd say, I'm going up. And it wasn't too long after a few of those there that Freddie was moved into a private room whenever we went visiting. I don't think the rest of the residents enjoyed being reminded of their eternities so very much. But we need to be in church. We need to observe the Sabbath, not to get to heaven, but because we're going to heaven and we need to be reminded. It also says, it's more than just remembering them. There's a way to behave whenever you're a Christian. Whenever you love God, you behave differently. And God says, here's a few things to keep you right. And we're not going to go through them, all the Ten Commandments and all the other ones. I think we mentioned them probably last week in Leviticus 24. But we need to do what God says, because his way is the best way. The thing about it is, no one's ever going to listen to God until God's really first in their lives. We need to put God first. And we need to listen to what he says. And we need to apply it to our lives. The important thing is, you have God as your Savior. Everything else, that is the foundation upon which everything else rests and hinges, is trusting in God. Sounds like a bit of work. There's a reason God gives us the Holy Spirit. It's because it is a bit of work. And when everything around the world seems to be going the other way, it sometimes is quite difficult to go against the flow. But God said, and this is what God said to the children of Israel at the time. I'm going to have to read it because there's no way I'll remember it. He says, if you do, I am going to help you. I'll do a few things for you. In fact, I'm going to list them. He did list them. I've got them underlined. I'm going to prosper you in your labors, in your crops, in your herds. I'm going to give you weather that is just going to be ideal growing weather. So much so, in fact, that your stores are going to be full. And you'll be able to eat them and keep eating them until the next harvest comes in. You are going to have so much stuff. But more than that, you're going to have peace and safety in your land. Now, safety's good, but peace is even better. And you can have peace whenever the whole land is in trouble, but God's saying, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you safety at your borders. Now, back in the day, I think we read the other day about ignorance is no defense, about a young man that took the Lord's name in vain, and he was executed for his trouble. He wasn't asked, do you not know the commandments? You broke God's law. More importantly, God said that if you take my name in vain, your life's forfeit, and that's exactly what happened. Imagine living next to a land that believes that way. Imagine living next to a land where the borders close on the Sabbath day and there is no trade coming and going. Imagine living in a land that everybody appears to be well fed, fit, hale and hearty, I think the term is. Imagine living in a land when the children are well behaved and they don't roam the streets at night. Imagine living in a land where there are no highwaymen, no robbers. Imagine living in a land where God continually blesses even when all around are cursed by God. When there's enough food and the soldiers are big bruisers of lads and they can't be stopped in battle. And God has worked for those people. He has opened the Red Sea and he opened the Jordan for them to cross. Conquered giants. Even walked around the city 7 times and the walls fell down in Jericho. Norman mentioned Rahab the harlot. In his reading this morning, was her family was the sole family that was saved from Jericho and incorporated into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Simply because she trusted in God. Imagine some fool thinking in his heart, let's go and take over that land. I remember one of the instances that the children of Israel were fighting, I think it was for the promised land at this particular time, and they fought this enemy the once and fought them to a standstill and chased them off, and they said, well, their God is the God of the mountains. Let's fight them on the plains. And God said, because they have said that I am only the God of the mountains, he stopped them. He routed them. He had many thousands of them killed. And over again. How many times? Does anyone remember the account of Gideon? Whenever he was told with his 300 to go and fight this enemy army, and God said, you are not going to draw your swords on these men. I will sort them out. And he said, Gideon, just in case you're a bit afraid, you and one of your men, you go down to the camp and listen. And everybody in the camp was having awful nightmares and fears about this great man of God, Gideon. And so whenever he turned up and there were just 300 trumpeters and lanterns, and they struck off the side of their lanterns and blew their trumpets, they all ran. They thought they were their enemy was in the camp, and they were killing each other. When one angel of the Lord killed, I think it was over 100,000 men of war in one night. And this is his people. Who in their right mind is going to attack them? Now I know, we know there's plenty of people not in their right mind these days, and they still think very physically. But God's going to give his people peace. And he did for many years here, and he will again. You have to remember, the God that we worship is not limited by a border, a pencil line on a map on a piece of land. And he's not stopped by a moat full of alligators or walls that are 15 or 20 foot high, reinforced concrete and backed up with all manner of soil and stone. A barbed wire fence is not going to give God pause for thought. Neither is a dog run around the middle of it. Machine guns and entire armies, even slipping off to Mars or indeed to the moon, which might be more likely in the near future. Nothing can stop God from reaching out and touching someone. Is it any wonder God can offer and make sure of peace? How many times has he put fear, has he put weakness in the lives and the hearts and minds of his enemy, of the enemies of his children? He goes on to say, look, I'll have respect unto you. And I got to thinking, how can this God that is so far above us as we are above the little bugs that we hit with those big plastic swatters, how could he have respect to us? And I got to thinking, you know, he respects us that much that oftentimes we get what we want as well as what we need. And that is a father's love for his child. Yeah, come on. We'll buy an ice cream, even though it's full of sugar and fat and all that there. I'm still going to buy you an ice cream as a wee treat. I'm going to buy you a packet of sweets. But you make sure you eat your dinner when you get home and don't have your mommy giving off to you. He'll still do that for us. He actually says so, but more than that, he said he would dwell amongst his people. His tabernacle would be with them. Now here, we sit this morning. We're down to five. That means each one of us needs to call out all of our names, maybe on 2 days, to make sure we all get prayed for every day. God promised that wherever two or three of us were gathered together in his name, that he would be here for us. God is here. If you have an open heart, and maybe it took you a minute or two for the songs to seep in and give you a pause or two for thought as Norman read the scriptures, and I know sometimes even reading the scriptures, thoughts can come to you at the same time. God is here to do business. But not only that in the church. Christian, wherever you go, the word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells within you and will remain with you until the day you stand in glory and don't need him anymore. Well, there's no more sin nature to be combated or to be kept down. God is with you. In the words of the song, God be with you till we meet again. God is always with you, Christian. His tabernacle is you. In fact, the word of God says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if any man defile it, God will destroy him. But is that important? You are loved. You are kept company with. Do you remember also there was one other instance that came to mind? Does anyone remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? There's a reason it's memorable, because the name of Sodom has become synonymous with one of the most dangerous physical acts in the human condition. He wasn't asking for two or three in a church or a church meeting. He was asking for 10 people that would have saved thousands of souls. 10 people. That's all that God needed to find in Sodom and Gomorrah to save those souls, to save those towns. And there were only four. There were only four. It's important. God will dwell with people. God will preserve souls, but they need to keep their eyes upon him. Amen. And it's not just in church. As a saved soul, you take God to every meal. He is with you when you hop under your quilt at night. He walks with you as you walk down the street. He sits at the same desk as you when you work. He is your constant companion and guide and friend. And we know that it is through him that we can lean upon God no matter where we are. And he will help us. Now, as you read on, if you want to read on, if I have inspired you with my amazing preaching and my eloquent speech, to read on and finish and read another 7 or 8 verses, you'll see that God also gives consequences. I don't know about you, but I could take my finger and I could point to times in my life when God has blessed me and given me what I needed, and even see my life changing direction as I leant upon God. For the better, I might add. But what about not having that? What about not having God's blessing? What about, I don't know if you've ever come across a day when it feels like you're wading through treacle. I used to have dreams about wading through these rivers of water or treacle, and these dogs seemingly coming after me. Always had a nice bit of concrete path to run on. I think, what's the score? They can already outrun me. Why does life seem so more difficult? That's the life of the lost soul. That's the life of the wayward Christian. Do moms and dads not spank their children whenever they disobey them? Of course they do, and it's not to kill them, it's to remind them to obey. But other people's children, they run about doing those things and eventually will suffer the consequences. But if God's blessing and his provision, what did Jesus even say about the children of Israel? How often did I want you to come to me and gather you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens, so that you'd be protected and preserved and fed and watered and predators would be kept off you, but ye would not. Our best place in this world is with Jesus. It might not be the world's most exciting place, but I can guarantee you it is the most thrilling life to lead. Whenever you contend with the very devil himself, the greatest adversary that mankind will ever come across, when you're contending for him and when you win, you will know what a true thrill is, knowing that the cost of men's souls is the greatest cost, the greatest prize. The thing about it is, the consequences for not walking with the Lord will make your eyes water on a personal level, on a temporal level right here and now. But the real eternal consequences are awful. We get a wee taste of that in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man. As soon as he was there, he wanted his suffering to stop. If that wasn't going to happen, he wanted his family saved, and that was it. God's promises are bankable. You can depend upon You take him at his word and see that God will do what he says. And it'll be for our good. And when people, when preachers say for our good, immediately people start thinking, oh, I'll have a new car and my health will get better and my clothes will look nicer and my weight will drop off and I'll be super fit and a full head of hair and my eyes will start working again, etc., etc. Sometimes our benefit requires a few licks as well, so don't be surprised if after a little while things are not working because you're not getting in touch with God and you're not doing what God says. All of these things, the fact that your mind is not addled by drugs, the fact that your body has not been destroyed with alcohol or loose living, that you don't have some disease that they can't cure with an injection at the STD clinic, is a testimony in itself that God has been protecting you. The fact that you're able to eat, the fact that you know that you have Jesus, well, you don't have Jesus Christ, but that he has you in the palm of his hand, that you have the assurance that no matter what should happen to you, you will go to heaven. Something that the world doesn't have. The fact that regardless of your most favorite hobby or pastime, that you have one of the most noble purposes, God's job in this world, the seeking and saving of men's souls, the ministration of angels to help you, the scriptures to fire you up and to help you reason with the lost and convict them of their sins. The world doesn't have that. Even our most famous and vaunted movie stars, how many of them have taken their own lives, the bottom of a bottle, an empty pill box, or the end of a rope? Because even with all of their fame and glory and riches, they still don't have what you have, Christian. God loves everybody and offers that up to everybody. But sadly, whenever you have guys like, I can't even remember his name because it's not that important, cutting Leviticus 18 out and lambasting God and his followers because they don't agree with him and his feelings are hurt. Aye. But that's not what it's all about. Does anybody here not want a blessing from God? Does anybody here not want to see God doing stuff in their lives? There's nobody. I love to see God's hand. I love to see God working in people's lives. I love to see him working in my life. I really do. But that's not the whole story. That's not the tree, it's not the root, it's not the trunk, it's the fruit. The main event is, the most important thing, as we mentioned at the start of the service, is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what Jesus said, and I've got a couple of verses written down here. He said, this is what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 10 to the disciples. Behold, I give unto you power, amen, to tread on serpents and scorpions. In other words, they were poison proof. And over all the power of the enemy. In other words, nobody could refute their words, and even the demons would be subject unto you. He said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. They had that for a while. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what it's about. Do you remember whenever the disciples, the Lord and the disciples, and I can't even remember the name of the place they were going to, and they turned Jesus away, and Peter says, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and utterly annihilate these pagans? I want for you to notice what Jesus said. He didn't say you can't do that. He says you shouldn't do that. That is not the way you're meant to be. It's not a matter of rejoicing in all the things that you can do here and now, all the things you get here and now, because you're walking with God. We rejoice because we're saved and saved from an awful hell. It is not a matter of, God, I want this and I want that and I want to be able to do something else and I want all these things laid at my feet and then I will follow you. It's following God that allows him to give us these things. I know it might seem a bit back to front, but that is just the way it is. It should never be a case of, God, I'm going to go to church if you get me a new car to get there, or a house closer. All that you do, and it's not that far away from where Norman was reading, was fulfill another little portion of scripture where the Bible said, I think it's in James 1, where it says, you have not because you ask not, or ask amiss to consume it upon your lust. You want to play the world's game. And that's not the way it works. The world works by one set of rules. The Christian lives by a whole other, better, higher, more powerful set of rules. We're playing two completely different games, friends. The better one is obviously, if anyone has ever played a video game here in God mode, you'll know what I mean. That's the way God wants us to play this game, to live this life in God mode. When the impossible becomes normal, when miraculous happenings become everyday happenings, whenever walking and talking with God becomes as normal and everyday as ringing your friend on the phone and just having a chat. Those are the things that God gives to them that love him. It's not a bargain. It's not, I'll get you a big Christmas present if you get me a big Christmas present. It's not, Santa, I'll be good and you'll give me this stuff. It's, we need a Saviour. And a Saviour loves us so much that he gave his life on the cross for us. And he loves us so much even after he gave his life on the cross for us, that he's been given his life in heaven at the right hand of God for us ever since, constantly interceding for us whenever we make mistake after mistake. And someday he's going to come back and give us another 1,000 years of his life to rule and reign this world from Jerusalem and us there as his helpers. And do you know what? Whenever we get to heaven, we're not going to say, God, thank you for the house on the earth. Thank you for the car. Thank you for the good health. We'll not be saying that. It'll be, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all those other things we're graving. Thank you. Thank you. I know there are some that would say to you, well, I must be living for God because I have plenty. I have loads of stuff. It tells us in 1 Timothy 6 that there are some people out there that teach those things. Just stay away from them. Because it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Not gain and contentment is godliness. But walking with the Lord and being his son. There's some other out there, and whenever people start talking about this, there was a fella called Jabez, and there's a prayer of Jabez where it says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me and indeed enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. In other words, God, give me everything so I never have to worry about anything. And then I'll follow you. It's not the way it works. And certainly not the way it works. Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, trying to convince and persuade the leaders of the day about the greatness and the goodness and the love of God. And he said to them, look, you guys, whenever your children want bread or an egg or a fish, you don't give them a stone or a scorpion or a snake, do you? And I've said, of course not. We love our kids. He said, if you being evil, if you being sinners, give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to his children? I know I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. The reason God blesses is because we are his good children. Because he loves us. And he wants to give us all good things. And he will keep doing that as long as we keep him as the God of our lives. And that's just the long and short of it. Might not be the way you expect, but everything the Word of God says will work together for good. Just remember, it's not a list of demands. You're not going to hurt God's feelings, or he might be annoyed for you if you don't get saved, but you're not going to hold him to ransom. He loves you, and he wants to give you everything you need to live the best life for him. So walk with him and talk with him. I guarantee you, you will not regret time spent in God's presence or doing what he asks you to do. And you will never outgive him. God, I gave you an hour the other day. God, I gave you an hour of reading the Bible. God, I spoke to this person and that person about you. It just seems like a waste. It will never be like that. It'll be a proving and a testing and a growing and a blessing for you. I guarantee you. And a great education. But how do I know that it's the right thing to be doing? We're going to stop with Romans 8:28. And these are the words of Paul to the church at Rome. This is God's word through Paul. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are saved, and to them that are called according to his purpose, to them that obey God." And it'll work out for the best. Maybe not exactly the way you think about it, but the best. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Better practice in for Thursday, Friday week. I think I'm over just a little bit, but I'll work on it. Amen. I have one more song picked here, if I can just wheedle it out. There it is, 305. Let's stand as we sing, "Yield Not to Temptation," 305. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Christy, if you wouldn't mind, brother, leading us. Thank you.
We are thankful again for a new day, Lord, and new mercies, Father, for the service, for the message, Lord, for preacher delivering that message as well. Thank you for working, Lord, with us, Lord, guiding and directing our paths, Lord, along life's ways, just walking with us there as well. For our brethren here this morning, Lord, those that couldn't be here, so I ask and minister to their needs, Lord, those with us, and Lord, if any be lost, that you'd save souls. Lord, strengthen your people in these days. Accomplish your will, Lord, in each life, Lord, and the world as a whole. We pray for the country's leaders, Lord, for wisdom there, Lord, for Israel, for protecting her as well. Lord, help our missionaries in these times as well. Provide for them, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.